Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I should be used to that by now. And welcome.
You really should.
Do it even if you don't.
And welcome to the Keyword Card Games Podcast. My name is Dustin Morabito. Joining me today to talk about a couple of random things.
Wow.
Lorraine Morabito is here.
It's true. I am.
And Brian Taylor is here.
Yo. I'm sorry. I'm looking at that Charmeleon right now, and I'm just kind of like...
He's special. He's special.
He's got a few birth defects.
Well, yeah, you know. Those non-Lego Mega Blocks or whatever.
He was.
Lady Gaga was right.
He's unique. That's right. He is,
Those Pokemon Mega Blocks are definitely like, it shows the difference between those guys and the Lego company.
Yeah.
Well, because they don't feel as good.
No, they really don't.
So there's that.
Really,
and the other thing is like,
Avatar one.
I want the Wooper one. I can't find it anymore.
When Lego builds Lego sets, they pride themselves on like...
consistency.
Yeah, like we don't build many special parts. Like we just take basic Legos and put them together, and then you get a kit that looks like a thing.
And if there are special ones, it's normally like a flat piece with like a sticker or something. Like they'll include stickers,
head
decals. Uh-huh. Yeah, that stuff isn't out of their wheelhouse, but it's
but
like
the Mega Bloks people. They're like, fan, we'll build you whatever you want.
Know.
Yeah, you want like a dodecahedron, like with a little, some little studs on it. We'll do that. I don't give a shit.
Generic belly.
Him around.
Honestly, like, I'm looking at his body and I'm just thinking, like, was he supposed to be a war turtle or something before?
If you look at our decals on the wall, you'll see where Charmeleon...
I guess he does have a bit of a belly, but...
but not that much.
It doesn't go up to his chest, like his, neck. His neck.
He doesn't have a neck. Well, I'm gonna have to... That's probably going to be the thumbnail
picture.
Yeah, I can relate.
Mood.
Fair enough. Yep. Anyway, yeah, we're just here talking about stuff. It's been
Legos.
A couple weeks.
Yeah,
schedules keep shifting.
Yeah, we had some personal issues a week or two ago that we've been dealing with. But,
weird things.
I don't even know if I know about
Shout outs to Matt Quinn.
Yeah.
Rest in peace. He's a cool dude we played card games with, and unfortunately we lost him a couple
CCA,
weeks back.
CCA, I believe, is what... The cancer has a very strange name. It's like duct cancer, I believe, is what it is. It's
ultimately it resulted in he had a lot of weird intestinal issues.
I think he had that beforehand, and then the cancer either came from that or was related to it because he had a lot of stomach problems and couldn't beat it. But also that cancer apparently has a very low survivability rate.
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
He's a young dude.
Yeah. So young. Goddamn.
Cool motherfucker. But...
one of the nicest people I've ever met.
Shout outs to him. Shout outs to his family. In any case, like Lorraine said, that put us on the bricks
really
a little bit.
Threw us for a bit of a loop.
And a lot of other stuff going on too. Like we had a wedding that weekend that we found out that we lost him, and
like a day
a
before,
a lot of other shit happening. But
yeah.
Hey, man, it's okay. We're here now. We're hanging in there for the most part. Talk about some video games and stuff.
Spring's finally here.
Yeah, it's like 80% sprung in the state of Michigan.
Sprung, motherfucker.
Other than whatever, which weekend was it? Was it at that same weekend where there was snow for no reason? Like, whatever.
It was in April.
I was like, there's snow in April. This
that's
fucking
right, there
sucks.
Was snow in April.
We've had that.
I say it's snowed
right, it's not
on
like
my birthday.
It's not like
that
doesn't
like
happen,
before.
But I'm still bummed out what it does.
It snowed in like May before. Nothing surprises me at this point, honestly.
I remember that one. That was a big one. When it snowed in May, I was just like...
Because that is pretty uncommon. Again, not 0% of the time. But,
June, I would be concerned.
I don't think I've experienced a June
snowfall
in Michigan.
If it snows in June, I'm concerned. June through August are what
snow-free.
I would guarantee as Michigan snow-free months. I could believe September, like late September. October, sure. November, absolutely. December through like most of March is a given, but... give them the
now all I can think of is that song.
Overall, the weather has been getting better, which is good.
What song?
What is it? The
shouldn't have
it
I know, I know. I
makes
have,
good television.
I have like, the tune in my head.
That's really helpful.
It's the
crap.
Use your words.
As you were like bobbing your head, I was like, for some reason, my brain was like, is he talking about Mambo
it?
Number
it's
five?
Like, no, it's like,
which is not
I'm
true.
To how it's called. I think it's the like Party 2000 or whatever.
What?
Oh, shit.
All right,
I gotta look it up, don't I?
If you can figure this out,
it's 1999 or whatever.
What, the Prince thing?
Yeah.
We're gonna party like it's 1999?
Yeah, but the name of the song isn't that. Right. It's like,
I think it's just 1999. Yeah. Maybe. I think the song is 2000.
Yeah. Something, 1999. something, whatever. So we're gonna party anyway. Like it's 1999. Mm-hmm. Some
you're
garbage.
So 2000 late.
You're saying like no, September and December.
That's the Black Eyed Peas, isn't it?
I don't remember, I probably.
Or it's like Rihanna or something. I think, no, I'm pretty sure it's Black Eyed. Was Rihanna in Black Eyed Peas?
No.
Fergie was in Black Eyed Peas. That's who it was.
Yes.
I knew that she was an artist.
No, that's fine. It's just...
Okay, I may have made a mistake.
What?
No, it's like in my head, I'm like, I can see why... for some reason, I can envision why you confuse them, but like, not really. Like, it makes a little bit of sense to me.
Man,
but they're not really
look-alike,
and they don't even particularly sound alike.
Dustin.
But in my mind, I'm like,
Dustin,
I get it.
Dustin. We have been over this multiple times. I am a complete moron. Especially with names, and especially with, like, well, maybe it's more actors than musicians, but
okay,
I'm
I was
really
wrong.
Dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Go
I
on.
Was thinking of the song September by Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Very similar.
Well, no, I was
speaking of things that are almost identical.
I haven't heard either one in a while, and when I was when it triggered in my head, I was hearing parts of both. Yes.
I don't know any of the words other than September.
Okay.
There you go, you know that song.
Yeah.
So how did you get the Prince song?
Because I misremembered the song. Oh, I remembered the lyric and the like the tune.
Fit.
And I feel like in my head they have sort of a similar kind of like tune.
No, I'm sad.
Yep. I feel like we just like created a game show hosted by Ellen DeGeneres, like NBC.
More like Ellen
just like,
DeGeneres. That
can you sort of hum it? $2,000. Congratulations.
Ooh. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
Not quite.
Anyway.
It's been a while since we've had a tangent that bad on here.
I do that a lot.
That's all right. You're not responsible for most of them. Like,
no, you're not.
And whoever shows up gives us a tangent.
Oh, yeah.
Two.
Oh, yeah.
Depending on the composition of the room.
Fact.
Anyway, sometimes tangents aren't bad. Like I said, you gotta just reel it in. Gotta know when to quit.
I'm more like recovering from it because that was a whirlwind of emotion for me.
Yes, it was.
So I'm recovering from
the collective
tangent.
Musical performance.
It's
you were
true.
Just like,
we were.
That's right.
We might get flagged for that because it was so.
That's right.
On spot.
Exactly. If we put this on YouTube with like a JPEG over it, they'd be like taken down, demonetized,
gone.
My true calling was singing.
How's your sister?
Oh boy.
Not well.
Rip.
Anyway,
but my brother's okay.
Fantastic.
We should still go do karaoke at some point. I'd still love to do.
Jeez. Call Justin. He loves.
Yeah, I know. I really should.
I
that's
don't
like,
have karaoke. Like, I won't. I don't want to do that.
You guys did it that one time with Rock Band.
Rock Band is different.
That's basically karaoke.
I know. I will play Rock Band in a garage or something. I won't go to a karaoke bar.
Mm-hmm. But the miracle. I'm into both, but the miracle of Rock Band is that it does give people, like, you can hide behind the lyrics because the voice track is there, so if you just want to, like, really kind of see turtle up into yourself and
or
still
you
sing
turn
along.
Turn that down and then the mic volume all the way up and just, like, blast their voice through the TV and just shake everyone
in the
room.
Belt out that Evanescence in Rock Band and
oh my
Amy
God.
Lee's there to...
When Brian A. did, I believe it was Wake Me Up as Goofy, that was... It was really good. That is all. That's my contribution.
No, that's fine.
My hands smell like Japanese snacks. Pretty good smell.
Yeah, we had some Japan
different smell to them.
I'm still dreaming about those corn, like those corn chips, not like K corn, but like.
If only though. If only they had their own branded snack.
What would
food
that taste
products.
Like? What would corn taste like?
I mean, it'd just be like those dark, like the purple blackish. Like corn chips that maybe they're not even flavored, but
I,
like
yeah, I don't
just
know
like
if those
the,
are flavored, like
you know.
The blue chips or whatever.
Would it have to channel their music?
Yes, in flavor
like
form.
You open the bag and it's like a Hallmark greeting card.
Yes,
like. Skin chips.
Oh no!
It goes.
God damn it, Justin! We're getting flagged again. What are you doing? We'll never be monetized on this internet again. My livelihood.
Oh, anyway.
Christ above.
Oh, my God. I don't think, I'm assuming Korn isn't together, right? Like, they're not touring in 2019. No, are they really?
As far as I know, they, I don't, okay, I can't say for sure right this minute, but I do know I heard a newish song by them. Unless it was just by the one guy.
I mean, you might be right.
Jonathan
the only,
something.
I wonder if their lineup has changed. The only thing I remember about Korn any further than like when they were at the peak of their popularity in the early
2000s. It says years active, 1993 to present.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, I was pretty sure they still are.
The only thing I remember about latter-day Korn, which I'm defining personally as like 2006-ish, maybe a year or two later than that, was that their lead singer like found God and like tattooed crosses on his wrists to prevent himself from masturbating or something. Like, he went... a little,
So it says there's only one past member, and everyone else is just listed as members.
Okay. What's the main Jonathan something? What's
Jonathan
Davis. I don't know the name of anybody in Korn.
I have the list just literally in front of me.
Okay.
Because he's done, like, collaborations with other people before, too.
So. Mm-hmm. Anyway, early 2000s, nu metal was a... It was a time.
Jonathan Davis, lead vocals, comma, bagpipes.
Okay, sure.
All right.
Why not?
So they replaced their drummer is what they did in 2007.
Who knows? Maybe he was the dude. Anyway, who cares?
Korn.
We're going to talk about video games, at least a little bit.
Fantastic.
Maybe.
We'll check in with ourselves, I guess, kind of. Us.
Who?
The two of us. Brian as well. But,
who?
You know, specifically us and the games we're working on.
Brian too, no.
stuff's been going all right. Again, every day that goes by, I still wish we get a little more done. But,
bang, bang.
I think the streaming thing is going okay so far.
Sure, I mean... It's getting views.
It's been good, bad, or, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. It's been...
Watch us hate ourselves on live internet.
It's been an accurate... an accurate depiction of that stuff.
It is definitely different than watching you guys play games. Because normally the only freak out is, like, when Dustin can't chill. That's about it.
Writing...
I mean, you get more of me hating myself when I do my drawing, so you should be,
that's true.
Like... You should be immune to that
writing,
by now.
Writing code live.
Yeah, that's true.
Writing code live and changing stuff like that.
Every 5 seconds. Wow, I hate that.
In front of like the portal that's exposed to the world. Like it. I want to say it has like a probably at least a 10% magnification factor on the frustration spectrum of things.
Mm-hmm.
I believe
it shows through in the work.
The first sentence of this past week's description when I posted on YouTube was, coding brings out the best in people. I mean, it was my fault because I got mad at me, but then that just spiraled out of control.
Yeah, it makes me really wonder about people who do that.
I'm damaged.
In a professional context, every day, all of the day. Because at one point, I was like, I had considered maybe applying for one of those Ford positions to do some of their dev work on some of the stuff they do. And the thing that ultimately, well, there were a couple things that ultimately drove against me, but the main one... was that it's like all paired programming in there. So you just sit there for 8 hours a day with one other person and you like swap spots at the station every like 15 or 20 minutes.
That's weird.
And just like the idea of having someone else breathing down your neck or being responsible for breathing down someone else's neck. I can get why they want it. Like I can get why people would think it's beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably
it's
is
like
in many cases.
It's a productivity thing or whatever.
But it doesn't, like I don't think that kind of workplace would give me the room to like... lean back in my chair and stare at the ceiling and spin around in circles for about 5 or 10 minutes to recollect myself.
Sweetie, just me 24/7.
In the way that I've become accustomed.
That's me 24/7. I'm always spinning in a desk chair. If not physically, mentally.
But yeah, it's like a... It's an interesting... I'm assuming that's a very interesting, workflow there.
Sure.
That kind of thing. Like I said, basically 8 hours a day for, like, a full 40-hour work week or whatever.
Kill me now.
Seems like a lot.
I've heard good things about it.
I bet the quality of the work is better. Like, I can totally see how that would, like, and in totality in terms of, like, how many hours invested and how much quicker you'll get feedback on what your good ideas are and what your bad ideas are.
A smaller loop
like, all
will
that
get
shit
that
makes
feedback
sense to
a lot
me.
Faster.
Yeah.
It's just the, like...
The environment is not for me.
Like, there's always somebody there to bounce ideas off of, too, because it's like, you know...
That's why you just shout over
maybe
the cubicles.
I would go and get creative or go and get my product owner or something, but... If I got this other person here, maybe we can just talk it out and get like 95% of the way there without needing to pull that other
Talking
person.
To a human? Kill me.
Yeah, I could very much, like I said, for me it was more of a personal preference thing than like a criticism of the form. Because, I can definitely see how that could be like very productive and very useful. Because I would personally like a middle ground. Like, I would like... more feedback than I've gotten traditionally in some of my professional stuff, like closer to like daily check-ins on things that are like more comprehensive than just like are you on schedule? I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
What's happening?
Like,
okay. Great.
Say, do you guys do pull requests or code reviews?
Occasionally. Not as formalized or as often as I probably would like. But
let's say that's pretty much how all of our stuff works where I'm at is like if I do a bunch of work, I check it in, I do a pull request to my boss or one of my other coworkers that has worked on the project and knows it well.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that decide whether it goes in or not. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they send stuff to me. But
yeah. That's ultimately how things work. As we're like wrapping stuff up, like that'll go through one or more people in a way similar to that. Mm-hmm. But I would love to have that stuff on a more incremental basis than like
once every like 3 months.
Yeah, it really depends on the project too, because some of them are more like that, and some of them aren't, and that's all contingent on, you know, what the timeline was when it came across somebody's desk or whatever. Like, how quickly are we supposed to have this turned out? And, they lean a lot on people to like be their subject matter experts. Like once you're kind
of
you're also in
a little smaller of a company, so like more of that makes sense. Like.
Yeah, once you're dug in to like the code base or
one of the websites
or the desktop apps or whatever, right?
You don't leave.
Just like there's a level of trust placed in you to be able to execute that shit, and it usually works out. But I think it does result in work that would be better if more eyeballs had looked at it for more of the process.
Generally speaking, that's more of a helpful practice than a single person.
Positives and negatives. Mm-hmm. Because on the other hand, obviously you're not, like if you have people that siloed off, they can, you know, in terms of nitty gritty grunt work, they can all be doing their own thing and plowing ahead at, you know, all of their own projects linearly or whatever, but it's just, you lose something in that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's the thing about project management and, you know, workflows and
people
all that
do it
shit.
Is, sometimes good, sometimes bad.
Yeah. No, there are no perfect solutions.
Yeah.
No one's found the absolute definitive best way to do this kind of nonsense, but
I have
some better,
it's
some
don't.
Worse. But in any case, I brought that up to loop us all the way back around, because that's what we're doing on stream now is closer to that than anything I've ever done before. It's like we're both just sitting there in the exact same moment, you know, kicking around ideas or like
yelling at each other,
changing
Hooray!
The same block of code or whatever. I've piloted so far for the most part. You hopped on the sticks, or I guess the keyboard, the buttons a little bit there.
Okay.
But whatever. I meant, you know, forget it. Controllers.
We call it driving.
There you go. Yeah. I was in the passenger seat.
So let me drive for a minute. That means hand over your mouse and keyboard.
Uh-huh.
Switch seats with me. I think we should just get, because that would be a lot easier to do if we didn't have the lav mics on.
Mm-hmm.
If we just had like freestanding mics
about
like
it.
This,
I might do the same thing because that's what we've done historically in that streaming room when we've had
we
more than just
people.
Us. Yeah, as opposed to like miking every single person individually, we'll just strew a couple of the. I might do that. Probably not for tomorrow if we end up streaming tomorrow.
Yeah,
or I guess
today.
Maybe today if you're hearing this
tomorrow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll consider doing that for sure. Because like you said, it would be easier to swap people in and out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys often program like that off stream?
No.
No. Almost never. That's why it's like,
I mean, we've maybe done it once or twice before.
Yeah, I've created like isolated moments where it's like
usually
it's either and down the drain it's more me having questions about the code Lorraine has written, because that's the game we're focusing on right now, and she's written more of it historically, that I'll just like throw the screen up on, you know, the TV or a monitor we can both see and just be like, so how does this work, what was it supposed to do, and just like pick her brain on stuff.
Good luck.
Like, either trying to add a new feature or redesign something. But, the fact that we're doing more of it now and we're kind of forcing ourselves to do it with the streams, I think, is good. I think ultimately it's going to be very beneficial.
Probably.
Again, it's just
like that stuff.
Yeah, it's a couple hours at least of effort that'll go in.
Mm-hmm.
Guaranteed every week, so that's good. Again, having you right there to, like, kind of
yell at.
Well, whatever. To share
thoughts,
share ideas with, and, like,
chastise.
Pick your brain on stuff is good. I think it's been okay so far.
It turns out that I've been right all along and though no one wanted to listen to me. Like usual.
Ouch.
Nobody listens to me ever.
No, it's been pretty good. And again, we resolved that other issue that other week together. We just got it done.
Bang, bang.
It's good stuff. Brian, having watched us do a little bit of that stuff, how much of that, how much of all the various things we've done have you mucked around with in Unity? Because I know you've had starts and stops and just, like, various points messing with the whole engine.
I've done some. Yeah, I mean, it depends, because I've done different kinds of projects. There were a couple of projects I worked, like, fairly, a little, like, kind of far through where I was dealing with sprites and animators and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is I would get, like, 75-80% of the way through, and then just stuff would come up, and I would try to go back to it like a month or two later or something,
and forget.
Like, I don't know where any of this is. I forgot how to use this tool that I was just starting to learn how to use. And so then I'll start like another one or something that's slightly different, and I'll get like halfway through that one, I'll be like, oh, that's right, I use this animator thing, and I remember how to do this, and then yeah, same thing happens. Where it picks up or something, and then I'm just screwed.
I feel you, for sure.
So.
Yeah.
I'm still not sure why the animator wasn't working last week. Because I was doing it literally how I remember doing it. Like, I wasn't doing anything differently, but it just literally wasn't taking.
I hadn't done any of that stuff, so I couldn't speak to what you were doing or not doing right or whatever, what might have been happening.
Not making any progress. Like, there was no point in keeping to do that on the stream in that manner.
Like I said, I've done all that stuff through some of those other
tools.
Like tools through the app store or whatever, or the asset store. I still like 2D Toolkit a lot. It's a very cool thing.
It's been very helpful with Cucumber.
And for Down the Drain now too.
I haven't touched the Down the Drain aspect of it like you have.
Again, I bet there is a way that you could do that stuff in Unity proper, but the way that the randomly generated levels work in Down the Drain now is they're built like it's basically like a giant like, the whole level is one enormous,
map.
Like, yeah, map that, like, we plop the tiles onto to create, like, individual pipe pieces as it, like,
varying sizes.
Generates them in code on the fly.
You're not even using my images anymore, are you?
No, I'm using the, like,
just the individual chunks.
Yeah.
Not the chunks, the bigger pieces were called the chunks.
Mm-hmm.
We should get rid of those out of the project.
Yeah, huge. we can reduce the footprint of that thing now by, like, at it's least 60% big. Probably.
Because they were like 120 or 20, it was probably 48 or 46.
It's 2048 by 2048.
Sized images, like.
That's big.
Couple hundred or so of them. Because back originally, because I couldn't figure out how to do it the way Dustin has it now, because I was just doing that literally on my own, I would basically map out a level and then have three different variations on, like, configurations for a certain, like, set of pipe entrances, and then just have Unity pick one of the three, and just like the mazes themselves were always the same basic shape, and it knew where that stuff was, like hard coded basically, and then it would just like fill that in. So there was like different levels, like different actual scenes that it was transitioning to, and now it's all one scene that is getting reloaded and is building different levels like that, because Justin's better at that stuff than I am. That's why I make the pretty pictures.
Hey, those are needed.
Apparently.
Yeah, man. All that stuff's great. It's the first thing anyone compliments about that game is how cute the little snake looks.
That swimming animation took me a long time. I have, like, my sketched out versions of it in multiple places in the notebook that I have, like, all the Down the Drain stuff in.
I mean, I'm just saying, most of the websites I've built would probably look like crap if I didn't have a creative department, so. Not just because they create, like, the assets and stuff, but they know how to make stuff, like, imagine stuff better than I do. So. I don't necessarily have an eye for style.
Yeah, that stuff's been good. Like I said, we're getting there slowly but surely, but. Yeah, I like it.
Multifaceted. Self-burn.
Bang, bang. I know. I thought about saying something, but I liked letting it sit in the air. It was a good self burn. Let it fester like that fish leather.
Waft, yes.
Ugh.
Fish leather.
So slimy.
Yeah, that was a first.
Viscerally wet, like, no, yeah, thank you.
That was a new one.
Not your favorite thing you've eaten out of a Japan crate?
I ate it.
Give you guys props for that.
And then I ate more plum chips. Plum chips are so good.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, yeah, we'll keep trucking along on the Unity stuff, but it's good.
Bang.
Again, slowly but surely, keep I have like in my head the mapping of all the different like modules and stuff that need to be built out before we're done with that game.
As long as somebody has that, I've got that.
And like I said, tomorrow we'll do our first big, maybe, like light refactoring session.
Oh dear.
We'll change out some stuff and make some stuff a little more uniform across the.
Ending my life.
Well, whatever. I've already done. I've done little bits of this in Cucumber, and Stan to do even more of it in that game. Unity is the. Its simplicity is a double edged sword because it lets you do a lot of cool shit very quickly. But also, if you really lean super hard into the C sharpness of the whole deal, if you build things well, like if you really do the due diligence to like design things ahead of time, like in a compartmentalized, like class based manner, you can get a lot more mileage out of.
To be fair, this is still the biggest thing I've done in a more class based environment, and I have gotten better about it. I have redone some of those bosses.
And yeah, you can tell, I was about to say, you can look again, that there's like code in there from like the prototype version of that project all the way till today. So some of it is
like...
Look at
that Marta script and just vomit all over the floor.
Some of it is much more recent, and some of it hasn't been touched in probably 3 years. And that's just the nature of the beast when you're building a thing with two people.
Mm-hmm. Or like 5 years, but you know, what can you do?
But yeah, we'll get there. Because yeah, we'll just pull some of that stuff out of... Again. Make some of that stuff a little more sensible, and I think it'll be great.
But
it's a process.
Fact. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we'll be doing that tomorrow, tonight, today, this Friday. Friday that this comes out.
In the near future.
7:30-ish. Same thing as always.
4:19, baby.
Dang. You just really locked her into having to do all that editing, didn't you?
I mean, she seemed like she was going to do it.
I'm doing it.
If it comes down to it, I'll do it.
No,
I just
won't.
Thought it was funny.
I did it for a long time.
A
I haven't done it recently.
A long time. You did it for like maybe 6 months.
Six months is a long time.
How many years have we been streaming?
Like five?
Yeah.
Maybe even six. Did we start this in 2013? I think we started this in 2013.
We didn't start in 2013.
I think you guys started after I started where I'm at now. That was 5 years.
Yeah.
It was 14.
I want to say it was like mid-2014.
You realize it was at Gen Con, so yes. You realize that that's like
4.5 years worth,
like a sixth or so.
It's a measurable amount.
Who puts up the streaming episodes? Who does the podcast? Who does every social media post?
Cinderella.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I'll
live in my tower or whatever. In the fireplace like Cinderella did.
I'm going to take advantage of the opportunity to segue here to bring up the other thing I kind of want to discuss tonight. You know what else has been around for, has been going for quite some time?
Me and my patience.
Maybe.
Approximately as long as I've been going.
Right. The Game Boy has been around for a very long time. The Game Boy turns 30 as of this weekend.
A toy, right? No? Going to play...
Yokoi. I believe it is Yokoi. Yeah, Gunpei Yokoi, the inventor, the designer of the Game Boy.
Shigesato Itoi.
That's the mother guy.
Okay, I was like that. I was like that
person.
Name is very important. I'm like, who is that? Okay, Gunpei Yokoi. I was close.
Yeah, the Game Boy is 30 years old as of this weekend.
Brick.
I've been thinking about it a lot as I've seen like think pieces crop up about it.
Gross think pieces.
Over the last couple, well, whatever.
More bash on thinking. Who does that?
But it is really, it is maybe the most important influential piece of video game hardware ever released. I could be compelled to believe that argument.
Sure.
The first mobile game.
It is certainly the most important product that Nintendo has ever made because it both, it made them a two-platform corporation. Like it made their reach of like basically the number of shit they could sell to people.
And I mean, it was
twice as large.
I would say it might even be. You could maybe even call it the first like real game console because everything else was basically a home computer. Essentially, like it's a device plugged into a screen that you have to sit in a single location. And I mean, like Famicom, like Family Computer, like they had. The roots in like a more accessible home computer alternative to like the giant room computers of the era. But this was just like, this is games.
Self-contained.
This is just games. You just plug the thing in.
Put a couple
double
A's in there or whatever.
Argue the Game & Watch was a little more of that, but this was more the like, in the vein of the evolving game industry, where it's like.
But the Game & Watches were all one-off products.
Yeah, they
were
that's
like
I was
Marvel or not Marvel, like Madden Football or whatever.
Yeah, like Octopus Chef Fire Rescue or whatever.
Yeah, like you couldn't swap out game on your Game & Watch. You bought that unit and it could play, like you said.
This basically bridged the gap between those and the home systems in a way that had not been seen before.
Mm-hmm. And then, again, speaking to sort of Nintendo specifically and their, like, path through the industry post-Game Boy, like, it's really the product that determined their future to this day. Like, the Switch to the Wii U to the Wii, like, every single platform that they've ever made that has, like, all their successes, I guess, like, if you have been based on the concept of we're going to take some hardware that exists today that is nowhere near bleeding edge, we're going to make it just good enough so that the games on it can be built to, like, a high standard, and then we're going to put it out in the marketplace. It is the Wii. It is the Switch. It is a product that...
It is those of... It's the first... A, it's the first one, and B, it's the one that kind of kicked off that whole mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, if you look at the platforms that didn't follow that design pattern of like minimal hardware, maximal software, like maximum
Mega Drive, is that the portable one? No, Game Gear. That's the
Game Gear.
Sega
Game Gear was the Sega.
The Jaguar.
I love that.
No,
one
not
too.
The Jaguar. The Lynx is.
And the Lynx barely counts. It was a portable product.
Technically,
it wasn't a competitor in even the same way that the Game Gear was, which in itself did not quite.
I was just trying to think of other of era.
I'll tell you about 6 AA batteries that last like 9 hours.
Yep, right, exactly. You gotta shell like $4 out of your pocket every time you wanna refill your Game Gear with
then
juice.
Then came the era of rechargeable battery packs that snap in.
Right.
But you have to stay plugged into the wall.
Yeah.
We had one of those for our Game Boy Color and one for the Game Boy Advance for sure. They were not good. They were very finicky. Like, you move even a little bit and the wires are like, nope, bye. Okay, well. Later. Shout out to the SP. Love the SP.
But yeah, and again, the other thing about that is, so, like, I think it set the standard for Nintendo's most successful, console
mentality,
products in the marketplace,
yeah.
Like the philosophy behind it, I think, set
your
them
DS's,
up for success in the future.
Your switches, stuff like that.
And then subsequently, the strong sales of the Game Boy staved off disaster in every era where they were doing the opposite of that. Like when the N64 was failing to some extent because
Game
just
Boy Color was doing
they
great.
Didn't pivot to CDs and cartridges made everything expensive and terrible. And when the GameCube was, you know, at that point they were still kind of hacking it out with Microsoft and Sony to be like roughly in parity with modern technology, and it just it wasn't
until like the PSP, but even that was like
they were coming
kind
in
of a different.
They were coming
thing.
In somewhere between second and third in a race for, you know, most powerful hardware and just like most dominant platform, and trying to compete with them in parity to like make the exact same type of product of like, yeah, this is roughly as strong as the other systems in terms of raw, you know, number crunching power or whatever, and we're going to compete in the third party space in large part for most of the same games. And yeah, it's just like between that and the Game Boy Advance that would succeed it, and you know, ultimately the DS that would go on to not only succeed the Game Boy line in terms of like market share and sales and all that, but would like all that stuff I think also played a part in a small to large part, depending on like how much credit you want to give them to like mobile electronics as a whole.
Yeah.
Like I think the DS was an astonishing proof of concept for like casual touchscreen games that would eventually go
be
on every cell phone platform once those
Cooking
became
Mama.
Computers with touchscreens that
all those dead Nintendogs.
Oh boy. Poured out for all my dead Nintendogs. But yeah, it's just like I can't think of necessarily a more singularly influential platform, I don't think. In terms of like relating to modern video games today,
I think the closest is the DS, but it's still just like riding on the back of the Game Boy. Honestly, the original one, like
it's just the new Game Boy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just I'm thinking of like in orders of magnitude because like the DS was huge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like that thing was enormous.
Also, think about the lifespan of the Game Boy in terms of like
long
because it came out in 1989. That's what I have in front of me here on the internet screen. And it didn't get, perhaps, its most influential game until, like, 7 years later? It was 96 when Pokemon came out in Japan? Or was that in America?
It was 96 in Japan, I believe.
98?
It was 98 or 97.
I think it was 98. I'm pretty sure it was 98, 99. I think it was 98
because I thought it was the year I moved to where I'm at now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 98.
I think
you're right.
I think it was 98 for the U.S.
Because gold and silver in Japan was like 99, I believe, and we might have gotten that in like 2000. And then like crystal was like a year or two after that.
No, I never got that one.
No, that's unfortunate. By then, 3DS.
Well,
yeah, February 96, Japan, September 98, U.S.
I had gold and silver. And I was
crystal's
like,
real good, though.
But, like, think about that. Think about that thing had been kicking around for...
Well, I wouldn't say... Tetris is probably also up there, and that was...
But it's like... that was even a pack-in. It was like... Yeah. Like, Pokemon is still going today in terms of being, like, a pop culture thing.
So is Tetris.
Well, sure, but I mean, it's not like...
Tetris didn't get its start on
the... I don't sell t-shirts as often.
I'd wear a t-shirt with a Tetramine on it today.
That's fine, I'm just saying.
Today.
But, like, think about how different, like, just think about that timeline of...
No, I know.
9 years later in the U.S. territories, like, that thing would go on to be probably the most popular it had ever been to date, which is really saying something.
Yeah.
When a console takes, like, 9 years to get a flagship, it usually dies around year three.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's not even that, like, it was, like, the only thing worth playing on there, the singularly remembered product, but it was a thing that gave it, like...
Right.
That gave that platform an astonishing amount of new life,
mm-hmm.
basically a decade after its release.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Game Boy Color.
Wow.
Yeah, which is great. You know, very similar, but a more powerful platform, to be sure. In addition to the color screen and all that, they had the games were a little more complex on the Game Boy Color.
That was the first one I owned. We never owned a brick.
Okay, we had pockets. We owned the Game Boy Pocket.
We started with color.
We also never owned the original like giant gray rectangle or whatever. But
that's one I had. I eventually got a color, and then I got a regular Advance. So I never had the SP. You guys had a bunch of those.
That's unfortunate.
I liked my Advance.
I loved
my Advance, and I had Final Fantasy Tactics, so I was good to go.
Mm-hmm.
But that screen, that form factor, the SP is just so much better.
Yeah. Sorry.
I don't hate the screen, yes, because you can't beat the
backlight.
Lighting within the console. Yeah. I didn't hate the form factor of the GBA at the time. Like, I still like the weird, like...
Well, I was kind of coming from... Like, I had the brick, and then I eventually had a color... So I was probably coming from like a color to that, but you like around the time of the color, I was also doing a lot of Game Gear still.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of shaped.
So you were broken.
You know.
Yeah.
Is what you're telling me.
But honestly, and leading back into kind of like modern video games.
You were battered youth.
I can't wait to see what the...
I had Shining Force, which was the closest thing I could get to Final Fantasy Tactics Advance at the time. Uh-huh. So that was good enough for me.
Yeah, man. Seems all right.
I played that game like 9 times. Shining Force 2.
But anyway. Yeah, looping us back around to modern day. I really can't wait to see what Nintendo does this year with their Switch hardware. Because it's basically all but confirmed that they're going to do like
a revamp.
SP equivalents. Like, right, that there will be one or two other Switches.
Oh, that's cool.
That enter the marketplace. That purportedly one is just... The Joy-Cons are unremovable. Like it is more like the Game Boy Advance.
Like the 2D.
It is, yeah, it's just attached to the device, and it may or may not be dockable. I guess we'll find out when they announce full details of it.
That would be a weird thing to take away, I think.
Mm.
Well, we'll see. And then the other one is that like instead of going on with the existing Switch hardware exactly as it is, we might get an upgraded version of that is intended to work with a dock that just has, you know, maybe it's slightly thinner or slightly, like, the form factor is just a little different and, like, a slightly higher res screen, like, that kind of nonsense.
I mean, PlayStation and Xbox did that.
Mm-hmm.
See.
So that stuff will be interesting, but I bet whatever they put out in that way will probably be pretty nice, just based on their track record for, like you said, every time
the upgrades.
The version 2 of a thing is much better. Like when I pull out our Game Boy Pockets, like if you hold that up, you can put like 2.5 of those if you like chopped them into little pieces inside of the original brick Game Boy.
That thing was huge.
mm-hmm.
Very big.
And similarly for like the regular Game Boy Advance, the SP. Hell of an upgrade.
I think the biggest one is DS to DS Lite, honestly.
I mean, I might go with SP just because the screen utility is so huge with the backlight or whatever.
But as someone who only had an original DS before getting a 3DS,
mm-hmm.
like, the form factor on the DS Lite was incredible. Like, The screens were not only brighter, but better.
Yeah, but you're not wrong that, like, every single time they've done one of those, like, big leaps in terms of just, like, form and,
the revamps form have and been field design, better.
That, yeah, like, there is nothing about the DS Lite that is worse than the original. Everything about it is an upgrade.
Yes. The screens were also bigger. Because those, you go and look at, an original launch DS now, those screens are tiny.
Now, imagine going from an original launch DS, which is what I had, to a 3DS XL.
That's an upgrade, man.
Essentially what I did. That's some good shit. I got a launched 3DS. So I went from original DS to 3DS is essentially what I did.
Gotcha.
And they were just smaller. Mm-hmm. And then I went to an XL because mine was kind of dying. I still have it, though.
Mine is still going strong.
I could still use them. I could still use all of mine, actually.
I think I told you guys, I started it up the other day for like the first time in like a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked.
Yeah.
It had like almost a full battery, and mm-hmm. I was just like, I haven't plugged this thing in like 9 months.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
The Nintendo products and and like Apple tablets, I found, have mm-hmm. like astonishing ability to maintain battery if you haven't touched them for
give me like
weeks or months or maybe a year.
A little over a month, like a month from now, I will be playing a 3DS game because Persona Q2 is coming out in June, and it's on the 3DS.
She's not even going to charge it. It's just gonna work.
Yep. I mean, just open it up, it'll go.
I think it's been charged. It's sitting in our
cradle
room.
Or whatever.
No, the XLs don't have a cradle.
I think I have one.
Or do I have a cradle?
They made them like yeah. I don't know if they shipped with all of them. But
no, they didn't ship at any of them. I got you that one specifically.
Okay. But anyway, I knew we had one.
I didn't buy one for me once because I got that. I got my mm-hmm. XL after you.
Yeah.
Because I my hands are small, so I can use the normal DS
mm-hmm.
just fine. That's why I like the SP. It's smaller. I have tiny hands.
But yeah, man, that whole legacy from like the Game Boy to the DS to now is just
bang.
It's just really fascinating. But yeah, man, things shaped the video game industry to this day in ways that are really interesting. I remember playing that thing all over the place on like car trips and stuff. Just have a little satchel with a couple extra batteries and
oh yeah,
mm-hmm.
Little. Snake light and
we didn't have the snake light.
I had a case that I still have. You've seen it before too, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
When I would play cards, we'd go to conventions and stuff. I had a black plastic case.
Yeah.
That mm-hmm. I would keep all my decks in.
Mm-hmm.
It was my Game Boy box.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's I would take that everywhere. Like my brother was a little older, so he would always play like arcade games and stuff when we went places.
Mm-hmm.
My parents would give him quarters and stuff, but I always had my Game Boy.
Mm-hmm.
So I just stayed wherever they were usually and played that all day.
Yeah.
Kid Icarus and Kirby and
yeah, man.
Pokemon.
That's some amazing shit. Like it really is. Like I said, I can define a lot of like childhood moments by also having Game Boy games present there, mm-hmm. like in my mind. Played so much fucking Kirby's Block Ball. Because that for whatever reason that game more than most or more than many on the Game Boy is like it's such a like that game has the cadence of a modern cell phone game.
Yeah.
Where you can play it for like 5 minutes and then put it away and just, it's that's the way that game is built. More so than like, you know, Link's Awakening or
sure.
like Pokemon mm. or whatever, where you're probably going to put more time into any given play session than like turning it on for the idle minutes I have in my hand, like while we're waiting in line for food or something at a, you know, a stop on a road trip or whatever.
Yeah.
What a thing, man. Trying to think of other specific examples of the versatility of that thing, but yeah, like you said, I took it.
I mean, it was invaluable a certain age. On our like trips up north
uh-huh.
because like we wouldn't take consoles with us, so we'd have the Game Boy.
There was a certain era, probably from like around 95, 96, whenever we got the pockets, maybe even a little later than that. Till oh boy,
that's why I shouldn't play with things while we were
through like early 2000s, like 2000, 2001, where that thing pretty much didn't leave my side. Like if we were going on a trip that was more than like 10 or 15 minutes away, like we would have them when we would go to like grandma's house for family get-togethers, mm-hmm. which is, you know, that's like a 30-40 minute drive maybe, but still have it on there and strap yourselves in, fuck around with it a little bit and then put it away.
That was the same for me with the Advance. That was my, when we had our place up north, that was like in the heyday of the Advance, so pretty much every time I went up north,
mm-hmm.
it was all right. I'm gonna play the Advance for like 4 hours in the car.
Yeah, that was definitely
I love Final Fantasy
me
Tactics.
As well, mm-hmm. and then it bled into the DS too. Like mm-hmm. that was big.
I played Golden Sun.
I guess
too.
Tying back into like road trips and like childhood memories and stuff too. It's interesting that those games, like when you talk about game preservation, those games are like the summer games for me that are the only ones that still exist definitively that I can go back to and play. Like in terms of being like on the road or on vacation specifically, because every other game that I remember like that from that era, where it was like something that that was video game like that we were interacting with that was not in our home. Was in the arcade, like in a way that is like that shit doesn't exist anymore. Like I remember when we went to Disney in like the late 90s, like 98, 99 ish. Put so much DDR on that trip because that was like the era of that. Mm-hmm. It was like the Konami rhythm game. Like those games were like becoming a thing at that point. We're playing a fucking Power Stone arcade cabinet in one of those Disney theme parks and like Soul Calibur and shit.
Power Stone.
I haven't heard that in a long time.
But that
time.
Stuff's gone. Not even are those individual cabinets of those games pretty hard to find, but like the concept of like there's nothing replaced them. Like the things that like took the place of that shit, you know, in like Disney or SeaWorld or whatever is like, oh,
Fruit Ninja.
Now it's a not even that. It's like now it's a gift shop or it's like a character photo spot. It's like, oh, you come and take a picture with fucking the frozen chicks. And
I was thinking about like Dave and Buster's, how they've got.
I felt a little ruder than I intended. I like Frozen just fine, but like the.
I would say a bunch of them have those like giant cabinets, and they're just phone games or whatever, or like Fruit Ninja, like I said, like they've got a giant
it's a
one.
Phone game.
Wait, what is Fruit Ninja on again?
Phones.
I mean, yeah, it's just
it?
Every.
Yeah, it started on phones.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it was also on a system. I'm trying to.
I mean,
remember.
It was. There's
a Kinect version, and there's like
that's
VR
it.
Versions now.
That's
yeah. It came to that stuff after the fact, but it started as just a touchscreen like swipe to cut the fruit.
I thought,
that game, all right.
Yeah,
Fruit Ninja's okay.
Yeah, I played that on my first phone. Now I remember because I had that one with the little trackball in the middle, the bottom.
Yeah, weird. I still might. I don't think I still have it installed, but I should go. I'd go see if I have access to a copy of Fruit Ninja. Go download it and cut some mangoes or whatever.
Right there, Fruit Ninja on the phone.
There you go.
Delightful.
But yeah, that whole legacy of that stuff, like I said, I have fond memories of that too, of playing a bunch of games off-site at other places that, like, those experiences are basically impossible to recreate. but the Game Boy shit, you know, if you have that old hardware, it most likely still works, and then emulation's a thing, so you can, whatever you remember playing on the Game Boy when you were, like, 8 or whatever, you can make that happen.
Wow.
You can suck it up out of the internet and boot that shit up and play it. It'll run on literally anything at this point.
Except the 3DS.
Well.
And that's why those games only came out on the new 3DS. Fact.
It does make me wonder if Nintendo will announce another micro console, like a Game Boy. Game Boy
N64.
Classic or whatever.
N64! Give me that garbage! Give me the trash!
So this would be a great anniversary to do it, man.
She wants the controllers back.
Yeah.
That's all.
Give me that
right?
garbage. Three-prong disaster.
Banana controller.
N64 controller so bad.
Yeah.
But I love it.
I picked one up not long
it.
Ago, and I just thought to myself, how did I use this?
What a wonderful world.
So ridiculous. This? The stick is all limp and sad now. And
it's really bad, but
it's
great.
It's got that weird white powder in it that probably gets you high as hell.
64 cocaine.
Mine was still normal like it was 15 years ago.
Sad.
Obviously, you didn't Mario Party as hard as we did.
No, I didn't.
So.
I didn't.
Coward.
Or burn holes in your palms like the tryhards.
I definitely did that once.
Just played Mario 64.
Never again.
Quest.
Boo.
Oh, man. But yeah, I'm trying to think of any other
Killer
like
Instinct.
Again, just Pokemon like that. That's like a whole other separate from the Game Boy itself. The Pokemon chapter of my childhood is like a whole other thing because that led into that card game, which led into other card games, which led into
spiraled your youth and adulthood out of control.
Yeah, exactly. Which led into going to a Wizard of the Coast store at some point and fucking some shit up.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, just like all that stuff is just compounds in on itself. Again, like you want to talk about, we had that conversation, I don't remember if it was on here or when we were just talking amongst ourselves, but of DBZ cards led me through a lot of my, like, you know, teenage years into my adult life. The Game Boy ultimately led me from my childhood to that. So if I made like my influence map or whatever on like, you know, things that change the trajectory of my being today, that'd be take a big old chunk of it, I guess.
Pokemon shaped a generation. So did the Game Boy.
Yeah, to some extent. And again, that stuff's like, you know, Pokemon is maybe the perfect example of a thing that like sprouted up in that time that has like mostly good, but still a little like because like everything in the anime, you know, it's super positive and it's just like friendship and you know doing the right thing and all that shit. But it is also while spouting those themes at the end of the day, a cynical like we made all these characters, buy them all, buy all the merch.
To catch them, you must buy them.
Well, how's they're all so freaking cute? Damn.
But I don't think it was. I don't think it was necessarily designed that way. I think that that came like to some extent after the fact.
I'm gonna say when like the Pokemon Company became more of a thing, not so much a Game Freak thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it was just like that was just those guys, just Satoshi Tajiri and all those dudes, like. We like catching bugs. Let's make cool monsters. And mm-hmm. they made the monsters. And then it made a million money. And then they went and made more.
Yeah, and I still think it's ultimately a more good than bad. Especially in the sense that, like,
Did you see how those sprites were ugly before? They didn't, sure. They weren't trying to sell merch with that first game, let me
tell
you.
I've thought about this a lot, too, especially after Disney's latest acquisition of 20th Century Fox or whatever. I sure hope that Nintendo gets to be either an autonomous company for most or all of my lifetime, or at the very least still a Japanese managed company.
Yeah.
Over most of all of my lifetime.
Are they owned by 20th Century?
No.
I'm just saying in the context of like
getting bought
corporate mergers. Gotcha. And yeah. Disney now owning like 40% of all intellectual property on Earth at this point. Like the thought of Nintendo being sucked up by like a Comcast or a Disney or whatever else and just becoming one more like disgusting cynical to the nth degree cog in the Western machine of like pure capitalism and like I don't want Pokemon or any of Nintendo's properties to become like what Disney is like half stepped their way into Star Wars with like, all right, how much can people literally tolerate before like what is someone's breaking point for how much Star Wars they consume?
Isn't Pokemon that like the highest grossing intellectual property,
something like that. If you add all like all the movies and the merch and like all that shit, yeah, I think that checks it out.
It was more like, you know, Disney and stuff, especially when you threw in the Marvel. And I remember reading a news article that broke down some of the biggest properties, and I was really surprised to see Pokemon at the top by the margin it was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's just because of its longevity at the top. Like, I mean, like Marvel's had fits and starts, so is Disney, but like. For the most part, Pokemon's been consistent since, like, 96.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think really, that stuff's also like, more compartmentalized. Like,
its dips have been a lot shallower than, like, I mean, those early Marvel movies. Those were all over the place. Like, they were selling, like, the rights to the properties all, like, everywhere. And, like, I mean, Disney had its darker X-Men, years Spider-Man. Of, like, movies and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
But for the most part, Pokemon's remained really consistent, which I think is what has led to that. Like,
and it's hard to say which of that stuff falls in like into which buckets. Like, do they count the comic stuff and shit all there, and like the Marvel tally or whatever?
Yeah.
And on top of all that stuff, it's still got the like. Whenever you see those headlines that are like from like game industry people that like game industry biggest thing in the entertainment ever in terms of raw dollars, like that is true, but it's also like a slight mischaracterization of how. Of just by like the littlest extent of how deep that stuff penetrates into the culture, because to this day, when you're talking about those big budget games, they're selling for, you know, $60 or more with the special editions per unit, and for movies to make up that kind of revenue, it basically takes like, you know, 4 to 6 individuals, you know, buying that Avengers Endgame ticket to make up for in total people what the amount of revenue is for one person buying a $60 game product. But that stuff's like still super cool, and obviously, you know, video games are maybe my preferred medium of choice for entertainment, like at least emotionally. Again, kind of like the conversation we had earlier. Like in my heart, having been here from, you know, the birth of modern video games till today, like I have a soft spot for the medium that I don't think I would ever feel in the same way with like
it's such a film unique or music medium or whatever. Because there is that level of integration. Like, you are experiencing it in some parts, even if it is like a completely story driven narrative. Like, you're not supposed to, like, you're playing a unique character. Like, they're not supposed to necessarily be you, but you're still experiencing it through them, as opposed to like sitting on in a chair watching something, or even reading, like, any of that. Like, there's a level of disconnect where you're not actively participating in basically every other form of media.
Yeah, and it's that same conversation we had with Wade and them too. Yeah. Wade and Phil, I guess, over the weekend of what the Star Wars Episode 9 trailer came out. And the trailer for that Respawn game, god damn it, what's it called?
Last something, isn't it?
Oh, I thought you might have been talking about...
Anyway, Rage. Whatever. The Respawn Star Wars game. I watched both of those trailers over that weekend, and the Episode 9 trailer I thought was fine. Like, nothing about it, like, I wasn't blown away by it, but I also wasn't, like, crazy put out by it either.
I don't know, you were really mad about the laugh.
Well, I still think the Emperor thing is stupid. You were really mad about that. Like, but not enough to, like...
You turned to me, you're like, have you seen this? And then you turned your laptop and showed me the thing.
Not enough to, like, not go see it, though.
Sure, okay.
Just enough to be, like, to be still disappointed that the most creative thing they can do with a franchise that's...
Let's bring back another character!
With a universe that has an infinite number of planets that you can create...
That's a lie. Presumably an infinite number of stories to tell. They got rid of the extended universe.
The thing that they're still doing to this day is just pulling the old shit out of the hat and be like, you remember this, right? And it just gets tiresome.
Man,
that part of the Star Wars canon is so...
That's all they have right now, because they culled everything else.
But anyway, the Respawn trailer wasn't that different from that. Except to me, it was way more exciting, because that's a different tactile sensation. Like, it's a thing you put your hands on, and you get, like, you have more agency in that story than you do watching the two-hour film.
That's a lie.
And there are elements of, you know, like, the finer details, like control and stuff like that. Like, the content of those two trailers wasn't that different in terms of, like, here's a Star Wars story, has a lot of beats from Star Wars shit you're already familiar with.
That's a lie.
But one of them
I'm not familiar with anything.
I was just, like, fine with. And the other one I was, like, above average excited for. And it's the idea of that, the video game medium, of the fact that there aren't nearly as many stellar Star Wars video game products as there have been. Well, maybe in totality there are as many as good Star Wars movies, but I guess their highs haven't hit. Like, I can't think of a Star Wars video game that is as good as The Empire Strikes Back in the arbitrary ranking of things in my mind that I like that are Star Wars related.
I feel like the only thing that might come close would be like the Force Unleashed games, just because they were so different and...
I mean, those are
unique.
Cool. Yeah, and those are neat for other reasons.
Yeah,
that
I'm literally racking my brain for Star Wars, but maybe like Knights of the Old Republic if you're into that kind of stuff.
Which game are you talking about, Dustin?
Well, I'm talking about just being excited for the prospect of this Respawn thing, this thing that's not out yet.
It's a new game.
What's it based on?
It's just an original
narrative work
that is set between episode six, or no, episode three and episode four. It's after the prequel trilogy and before the original trilogy.
So the good part of Star Wars.
You said Empire Strikes Back.
Well, that's the fifth movie.
Oh, you were referring to the movie, not... Okay, I thought you were referring to a game.
Well, there is.
I was thinking of Shadows of the Empire for N64. I liked that one a lot when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. I bet that game... I really remember really liking it at the time. I'm almost afraid to go back to it because no N64 game ages well.
Let me tell you about Banjo.
Like, even
Star
the best of
Fox
them.
Star Fox 64. You cannot tell me that Star Fox 64 did not age well.
I think it did okay.
It's incredible.
It's fine. Honestly, that game it ages better than most, probably.
Okay, that way. Star Wars, that one was like... mostly a first-person shooter kind of thing, so
Woof.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On the N64, even.
Yeah. I mean, GoldenEye was a classic, but...
Mm-hmm. Have you played GoldenEye in this decade?
Nah, I won't.
And that's why.
I guess what I'm ultimately saying is that just, like, since playing a game is just a different sensation than watching a film,
Absolutely.
The burnout is less severe for me.
Yes.
Like, if Episode 9 is really good, I'll still enjoy it. But I don't think I will enjoy it as much as if this video game comes out and it is really good. Because I've just done that. I played really good Star Wars games fewer times than I've had, like, experiences where I watched Star Wars movies that I enjoyed. And that's the same thing with, the theme park stuff, too. Like, I think that's the one thing where, like... And they announced with all this other stupid shit that they're going to, like...
I mean,
tap the brakes
Wars
a little bit with the Star Wars movie franchise,
Thank
which
God.
I think is a good idea. But,
probably a good idea.
I think those theme parks are going to open and... I think that those aren't going to show fatigue in terms of, like, their raw attendance for the Star Wars brand, but that the movies still totally will. And it's just because they're a different experience. It's not the same thing is going to watch 2 hours of another movie that is very similar to all the other movies. It's going to a place and doing this interactive thing that is a totally different entertainment sensation.
The mouth feels different.
Basically.
I just wanted to say mouthfeel.
But anyway, it's just, I don't even remember how we got this far down this rabbit hole.
Man, I don't know. You just started talking.
Star Wars. We're talking about franchises.
There you go. But thank you. That is how we got here. So I guess in conclusion, summing up
Someone's
that whole thought.
Attention.
I wasn't.
No, thank you. Seriously. Because I literally had completely forgotten. But
talk about tangents.
Disney, I think, has made the Star Wars okay. But
let's be real, though. Was Star Wars ever managed well? Like, really?
Yeah, absolutely. Those original movies.
Okay.
Original movies,
okay.
Yeah.
At the start.
Before it became a brand
yes, okay.
such that they were like, that they were trying to sell you as many t-shirts as they could in a single quarter of a year.
Right.
I secede the floor.
But yeah, again, for all that stuff that does exist, even with like Nintendo's current business structure or whatever, like imagine that. To the nth degree, like American capitalism will allow.
No. That will be a sad day.
I hope that
first
we don't
Good Friday.
We don't have to see that Me Nintendo too. Turn into that through no. a horrible like maze of corporate acquisitions and
I don't
shitty executives
that.
Leveraging power.
I don't want any of that.
It is really disappointing because like when I was a kid, I loved Star Wars and I still like Star Wars quite a bit.
Yeah,
there
it's
are
changed.
Still two movies I haven't seen.
Oh, is it both like Solo and
I haven't seen Solo.
Okay.
Yet, and I haven't seen what was it? The second or third prequel? The one that's got all the Senate talking?
I mean, that's kind of all of them. You don't have to be more specific.
You really missed what that is actually interesting to me because that would have been
Attack of the Clones.
I talked to you about this before.
Yeah, I think it's Attack of the Clones is the one you
haven't
seen. I've
tried to watch it like 10 times.
No, it's not good.
It's a bad movie.
It is definitely the worst of those three movies.
Oh yeah, the third one is garbage.
I may not have seen that one either.
That is
I'm not
an
sure.
arguably bad
no,
movie.
Attack of the Clones is the second one.
Yeah, I don't
it
fucking
is
know.
Real bad.
I know. What is the third one then?
It's whatever. Revenge of the Sith.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. He's got longer hair to even angstier Anakin.
I know, anyway. And he's a little bitch at all.
We have talked about this before.
I just
go on.
I fell asleep because I didn't see him in theaters, and I could never sit through the beginning.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
Justin and I always watched him at night.
Yeah, and it's not a good movie.
It's not a good movie.
It's not particularly
like,
entertaining.
It's arguably a bad movie.
It doesn't even have the highs of like the handful of cool like action scenes and stuff that are in like Phantom
one.
Menace. Yeah, it is. Everything about it is
it's
just
I
dull.
Saw that
and
in the theater, and it was like, okay, it's different, and yeah, okay, you know, spoilers. Like, okay, Darth Vader's a kid or whatever.
Uh-huh.
That's who he is in the movie, but it's. It was still very Star Warsy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and some of that was definitely
stuff.
Still there in the first one.
Yeah,
and then it just kind of started to twist.
Yeah,
and again, and that had the same
really,
benefit of just
really
like
bad.
Of a gap in
the
linear
gap.
Time
yes, the
at
gap.
The time.
Yeah,
there hadn't been a new Star Wars story on screens for like 15 years or whatever at that point.
Right.
So by default, it's going to be more engaging than the one that comes out
Which
like 2 or 3 years later.
Yeah.
That is like just. Basically worse in every way somehow.
The thing that was bad for me was like that to my knowledge, there was no forewarning or knowledge. Like my parents didn't know like, oh, there's a Star Wars movie that's coming out in a year or two. Like, as far as I know, I saw those movies as a kid when I was like 9-ish years old.
Yeah,
and that was
right.
just
whatever,
before
whatever VHS tape got put into player.
Like the millennium. And I think that's 2000 is when the new Star Wars movie, the
99.
First prequel came out, right? 99, okay.
Yeah. Late 99, I believe.
So yeah, like a year or two later, all of a sudden there's a new movie and it's a lot different than the other ones. But it was still okay. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I
the
definitely enjoyed
two.
It at the time. I'm more critical of it now, having like...
Yeah.
But that's still like, on some level that's true with everything. Like that's the nature of people is to
Age.
Be critical about things.
Yeah.
And it definitely is not like... Like, it's not a great movie. It's
no.
not. It's like okay at best.
None
it,
of them really are.
But it is much better than the movie that followed it. which is like really something. But anyway, yeah, I totally feel you in
sand.
Terms of like, yeah, a larger volume of Star Wars just in totality is not necessarily what I need in my life.
Except...
And that's been Disney's plan like, so far to date, for
the only thing is, though, is if it wasn't so narrowly focused. Because I bet, like, if they had... Because I feel like the extended universe stuff before wasn't nearly as panned as, like, the kind of stuff coming out now. And it was coming out just as fast, but it was different stuff. They were looking at different facets mm-hmm. of, like, the... Like, kind of the universal, like... Just in world, essentially. It was just like, mm-hmm. oh, we're going over here. Like, what's a Skywalker? I don't know. Who are these people? Who cares? Like,
I think my knowledge of books, too. Though,
yeah.
So it's
a different medium.
Yeah. I want to say that the biggest difference between that stuff is that, like, it was totally opt in.
Yes. Like, which I think is, like that is the only way that you can make this stuff at this volume more palatable. Like, where it's not like, required reading, essentially.
When they had, like, five or six different book series with, like, in the Star Wars universe going in, like, you know, the mid to late different 90s or whatever, authors. You didn't see that shit in front of your face every week of your fucking life until your eyeballs fell out of your head.
I mean, I kind of did, because I got a few of those books.
But, like, the content turnover were, like, was on, just as
they
fast,
They weren't on,
though,
like, bus stops and billboards and...
Right.
Yeah. It wasn't...
It was a similar volume of content, maybe even more, mm-hmm. but it wasn't, A, is shoved down your throat, B is narrowly focused, and C wasn't beholden on like a single person. Because like you said, there's like multiple authors. Like you could just kind of get in and
for
just
better
like,
or worse, a lot of that stuff is very fan fiction-y at some point.
I mean, what isn't?
But it's just like
let's be real.
You know, it's that like, and I'm sure there were outliers, but most of that stuff I read was like, all right, it's everybody's kids, and then like the continuing adventures of Luke Skywalker, whatever. The thing
just
they need to do.
Go read Wikipedia now.
Something like that.
I mean, the internet. Is
every now and then I do that just to dive down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Nostalgia.
But in any case, yeah, I'll watch that movie. Like I said, the trailer looked fine.
I'm sure I'll see it.
Yeah.
And that game looks cool. I hope the game turns out good, because I'd be super stoked about that.
You just get another 13-13. And by get another, I mean not one at all. Bang, bang.
And other than that, yeah, like I said, I just hope...
Games. Wow.
Yeah. I just hope that... That stuff, Nintendo in particular, for me personally, but honestly, quite any of those, like, you know, the major tentpoles of video games. I hope they can be autonomous for as long as possible.
I'm sure video games will change as we get older in ways
that absolutely.
We don't necessarily expect them to.
I wouldn't purport to be able to call, like, the nature of the video game industry with any level of confidence, 10 years down the road even, let alone further than that. We'll see what happens. I'm sure there'll be plenty of exciting things for, like, the handful of things
that's
that might be super disappointing.
Excitement is dead.
But yeah, man. Shout-outs to the Game Boy.
Woo-woo!
Shout-outs to video games in general, but the Game Boy specifically.
Yeah! Happy birth.
30 years in and still a large influence on, again, especially Nintendo's trajectory in terms of the video game business. Like, they have become... They went from a home console company with a portable side product to a portable product is basically like the thing that they're selling first and foremost. Like the script flipped a little bit in a way that, like, looking back at the trajectory of the Game Boy makes a whole lot of sense.
Sure.
But it's a really interesting
it's a
thing.
Big one.
So yeah, thanks for the good times. Thanks for Pokemon. And thank you for listening to the show.
Wow.
I think that might just do it for this evening.
Woo-woo.
Any final thoughts before we close it out? You just look so pensive. I was like, I thought you were going to say something really.
No.
Okay, that's fine. You're really digging deep there for a second.
Or just spacing out, you know, who knows.
One or the other. Well, in that case, I think that'll do it. Thank you, Lorraine, for hanging out and chatting about stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Brian, for joining us and hanging out and talking about video games and Star Wars and whatever else.
You got it.
And that's going to do it for us.
So, wow.
Until next time, we'll see you later, Internet.
Bye.
Bye.